There are some really bad people in the world. You know that? There's always been good people, and there's always been bad people. And tonight I want to tell you a story about some people who were God's people who were not doing good. And then they started trying to ask God to help them. And God started really, really helping them. You see that picture that's up there? Do you see those people in that picture up there bowing down to worship this animal that's right over here on the side, right over here on this side? You remember God said, "Thou shalt not make any graven images." And sometimes God's people would start doing what wouldn't do what God said. They'd make idols. And then they, instead of bowing down to God, they'd bow down to an idol there. You see the fire that's there and the smoke that's going up from it? That's the way they worship those false gods. And God's people did that sometime. And when they would do it, God would let really, really bad people come over and take their houses away from them, take their animals away from them, and be really, really mean to God's people. And so God had to raise up deliverers, somebody to help them get rid of these bad people. And so God's people had started worshiping these idols. And there's a map that's up there, and I don't know if you'll be able to understand what the map is, but if you see a letter P that's up there, do you know, you see that word Philistia, you see that? That's where those bad people were. And these people, the Philistines, had come over, and they were really mistreating God's people. Now, God's people had not been doing what God told them to do. They were worshiping these idols, and so these people from Philistia came over. And God said, "I'm going to help my people. I'm going to raise up somebody to get rid of these bad people." Well, there's a man in the Bible, and his name sounds like another name you know in the Bible. The man's name is Manoah. Does that sound like somebody else in the Bible? Sound like Noah, doesn't it? But this man's name is Manoah. And his wife did not have any children, and she wanted to have some children. She didn't have any baby boys or any baby girls or anything. And an angel came to her. She didn't know it was an angel. She knew it was somebody from God. And this angel came to her and said, "You're going to have a baby. But let me tell you what. Don't you drink any wine. Don't you eat any grapes. And don't you drink anything else that's a strong drink. Because from the time this baby is born, he's never ever going to do any of those things. Because he's going to be a Nazarite." And that's when somebody made a vow to God, and they became very, very close to God by making that vow to God. Well, she was so happy she was going to have a baby. Guess who she went and told? She went and told Manoah and said, "There was a man of God, and he came, and he told me I was going to have a baby." And Manoah was really, really happy that, but he said, "How are we going to raise this child? How are you supposed to raise children?" And he said, could we find that man again? And guess what? He prayed, and that man of God came again, and he came to the woman again, came to Manoah's wife. And so she ran to where Manoah was and brought Manoah to where that man of God was, that angel. They didn't know it was an angel. And he said, "You're going to have a child." "Well, how am I supposed to raise this child?" "I've already told you what you're supposed to do. Now do it. You remember what he told them? Don't eat any grapes. Don't drink any wine. Don't drink any strong drink. Because this is going to be a very, very special sign. Well, they said, could we fix you something to eat? He said, no. But if you want to make a sacrifice, you can. Boy, they were really, really happy. And so they made a sacrifice and laid it up on the rock. And they started the fire under the sacrifice. And guess what happened? Right in front of them, that man of God got in that smoke and went up and went back up to heaven. And that's how they knew it was an angel. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? Well, they were scared because they'd been there in the presence of God, but they knew that they were going to have a very, very, very special son, and they were going to have to do what God told them to do. And so they had this son. Guess what? You can't eat any grapes, you can't drink any wine, you can't drink any strong drink, and you cannot cut your hair. Do you know the name of the man in the Bible that had long hair? Yeah. Samson, right? Was Samson. Who's Samson's daddy? Manoah. You think you can remember that? Well, Samson grew up and he saw among the Philistines, that's those bad people, a beautiful woman, and he fell in love with her. Yeah. And he went and he told his mom and daddy, said, I want to marry her. And so they were going down there, he and his mom and his dad were going down there to where this beautiful girl was. And while they're going down there, guess what happened? A big old lion came out and started to eat Samson up. And Samson took his hands and killed that lion. Well, that's pretty good, right? Well, he went on down there and he saw that beautiful woman again. And so then it was about time for there to be the wedding to take place. Now, back there, they'd have a long feast. You know, they'd eat a long time and everything, and then they'd have the wedding. So guess what? He and his mom and his dad were going back down there, and he went over there to where the lion had been. And you know what he found? Inside that lion, some honeybees had come. And guess what they'd made inside the lion? Honey. And so he reached in there and he got some of that honey and he ate it and he took it over there and he gave some to his parents. That's pretty good, right? Well, he gets down there and they get ready to have this feast and everything. And he gets some young men to help him make this feast. And they invite 30 more people to come to the wedding, come over there for that feast. And so Samson says to them, I'll tell you what, I will give you a riddle. You know what a riddle is? Like a puzzle. And if you can figure it out, there are 30 of you, I will give you 30 new garments that you've never had before. I'll give you 30 garments that'll be new to you anyway. If you can figure out the riddle, he says, here's the riddle. Out of the eater came food, and out of the strong came sweetness. You understand what the riddle is? Can you figure the food that came outside of something that would eat you up? And can you think of sweetness that would come out of something that was really strong? Well, they couldn't figure it out. They could not figure it out. And so they said, look, you got 7 days. And then if we can't solve it, then you will win. But if we, and so they came to this beautiful woman And they said to her, "You better go ask Samson what that was all about." And Samson, guess what? Didn't tell her. And she said, "You don't love me. If you love me, you'd tell me." And it was the last day of the feast. And he told her what the answer was. Yep. And so she came after she had told Samson, "You don't love me." She came and told all of those people, because they had told that beautiful woman, if you don't find out, we're going to kill you. And we're going to kill your mother and your daddy if you don't find out. And so she found out, and so she went and she told the people, and they came to Samson and they said, "There's nothing sweeter than honey and nothing stronger than a lion. We know what the answer to the riddle is." And guess what? Samson had to get 30 new garments. Where's he going to get them? Well, he went over to where the bad men were, over in Philistia, and he killed 30 of them and got their garments and brought the garments back to give them to these 30 men that were at the wedding feast. He was strong, wasn't he? He really, really was strong. He's the strong man in the Bible. Well, whenever Samson came back then to find out where his wife was, there he is giving the garments. When he came back to give it, find out where his wife was, they said, "You don't have a wife here. We gave your wife to your friend, to the best man at the wedding, to the friend of the bridegroom, so he didn't get to marry her." Well, you know what Samson did? Samson went out, because they were such bad men and had stolen his wife from him, he went out and caught 300 foxes. How would you catch 300? You'd have to run fast, right? Some way. And he tied their tails together. And he then tied a piece of wood that was on fire. And those foxes took off running, and they ran out in the fields, and they burned up the fields. Now, I'm going to tell you some more about Samson, but we'll have to stop that story about Samson right here, okay? But you see, there were these bad people, and God used Samson to punish bad people. You like that story? All right, let's go back and sit with our parents now. Sort of funny about Bible stories. You think you know them, and then you read them, and all of a sudden there are things in there you've forgotten about all of these stories. And you know, it's remarkable indeed. These things are really, really remarkable indeed. You and I need to have an appreciation of the fact that these are not just Bible stories. Whatever was written aforetime, there's lessons for us to be learned. Let me mention two things tonight. The first one is the question that Manoah asked. How shall I raise this child? And that angel gave the answer. You need to raise this child in the way that I told your wife to raise this child. Those of you who are not yet parents, you need to memorize this and write this in your heart and in your soul. And those of you who have small children in your home, you need to write these things down and come to a realization of the fact that the way to raise children is like God said. Can I say that again? The way to raise children is to raise them like God said. There are principles in the Bible that are absolutely essential that must be in your life and in the life of your children. And those principles become the determining factor about the choices that you make in your life. Moses said to that second generation of Christians, "The words that I command you this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children." Talk about them when you're lying down, when you're getting up, and talk about them when you're sitting in your home and when you're out walking by the way. You and I need to understand the principle of laying a pattern before our children of these principles that are found in the Bible. And when it then comes to the matter of trying to decide in specific situations, how do I rear my children? The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. Let him ask in faith, nothing doubting, for he that doubts is like a wave of the sea that's tossed to and fro. When it comes to making decisions about how do you apply these principles, ask God to give you wisdom, and he gives it to everyone that asks him. Now, there's no wisdom apart from godly wisdom. Psalms chapter 19 says, "The entrance of thy word brings light. It makes wise the simple." There's wisdom that comes in seeking advice from those who are older Christians. And if I were a parent trying to deal with children, I'd ask those older Christians, tell me what I should do about this. You've reared your children and they're faithful. Tell me what I should do in this situation. And young mothers, listen. When the Bible says that aged women need to teach younger women, I see again and again the mistakes that's made by younger women in the church and by their husbands of not seeking counsel from those who are older. Now, there's a problem with that. When the Bible says the aged women should teach the younger women, I don't know any woman in the church that will admit she's aged. And so the later translation says the older women. How do you rear children? The answer of that man of God is you need to do what I told the woman to do. Parents, those who will be parents, how do I rear children? You need to do what God told us to do. Now, the other lesson is especially for young people. And that is that who you marry can likely determine whether you go to heaven or hell. Samson had a problem. His mother said to him, whenever he said, "I'm going to marry that Philistine," she said to him, is there not some among the Jews, believers in God, whom you could marry?" And the second most important decision you will ever make in your life is who will be your life's companion. Obviously, the first decision is, will I be a Christian? But if you'll just stop and think about it for a moment, who you marry will determine how happy you're going to be on this earth. you marry someone that does not have your values. And the things that are because of the faith that is in your heart, that has been implanted in your heart by godly mothers and fathers and by Bible class teachers and those others who you've known, the values that you have are not their values. And evil companions will corrupt good morals. You stop and think about it. You marry someone that's not a Christian, and every Sunday morning you'll have conflict in your marriage. There'll be the conflict as to whether we even go to worship or not. There will be the conflict about how much can I give to God, because your mate will not have those values that you have. And then there will be that ongoing conflict about what values do you give to your own children. And no wonder the Bible, time after time in various places in the Bible, said, to believers, you need to marry those who are believers. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7, the Lord forbade those Jews from marrying those who were Gentiles. Not a racial thing, as those erroneously used in times past to try to justify racial prejudice in their hearts. But statements that say, not they may take away your children from the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 7 says they will do this. And Samson is a classic illustration of it. When we talk about the rest of the story about Samson, and that is that other woman that was in his life, Delilah. The destructive power of his life was his inability to see the beauty of spirituality. Young people, listen to me. You ought never to marry anybody unless that person is the one person on this earth who will help you to go to heaven more than anyone else. And you ought to not marry anyone unless that person you marry is the one person on this earth that you can help to go to heaven. I say this not by way of boasting at all, and please don't see it in that way. But when I was in the seventh grade, through something that someone told me, all of a sudden it began to be obvious to me that the happiness that I'd have on this earth would be determined by who I married. And I prayed every night when I was in the seventh grade and the eighth grade, God, help me find the person to marry. And the ninth grade and the tenth grade, every night. And the 11th grade and the 12th grade and the first year of college and the second year of college. And even the night before Jude and I were to be wed the next day, I prayed, God, if this is not what I need to do in my life, open my eyes before tomorrow. But I want you to know, the most important thing I ever did in my life was praying that prayer and having God answer it. I will be in heaven, and my children will be in heaven, and my grandchildren will be in heaven because of a decision I made when I first became a teenager. Samson, tell us about the mistakes of your life. And it comes back again and again. The women in my life were the mistakes I made. Great stories and great lessons for us all. And now let's sing a song of invitation. If you need to give your life to the Lord, you can do it tonight. In simple faith, you can come and be baptized this very night. As a believer, you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. You see, that's the way they did it in Bible times. They made up their minds to follow Jesus, and that decision is called repentance. And so you believe, and that makes you to make that decision to repent. And when you've confessed your faith in Jesus, you can be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. You may have done that and wandered away. You need to come home. Invitation song is one that we all know, Rock of Ages. And if you're not being hidden in the rock that was cleft for you, then will you not make that change in your life right now? As together we stand and sing, will you come?